Father, we thank you for your word. I pray now that by your Holy Spirit, you will help us understand it and obey it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, thank you very, very much for your welcome. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you to Bishop David, through God, for the call, to Bishop Stephen, to everybody here. It's very, very moving. I'm still trying to find my identity. There's a lovely story of a bishop in his purple cassock going into an old people's home. And he goes up to a lady in an armchair and says, "Do you know who I am?" And she says, "No, but I'm sure if you ask the warden, she'll tell you." So we moved from Islington to Dorset, and we feel at home here. Not quite as big a move as from London to Kenya that we did in 1985, or from Kenya to Cambridge in the end of 91. But it's great to be living amongst farmers again, because the last time we lived in the countryside was in Kenya, 7 miles up a mud road. And it's great to be living close to the land. And it was wonderful to have a welcome from the army, because I came to Dorset in 1973 and I trained for a week at Bovington. And after just 3 weeks at Sandhurst, I was given 4 chieftain tanks and 15 men. And so, I mean, the previous few months before, I'd been a sixth former, and I suddenly had to grow up very, very fast. So the army taught me a huge amount about leadership and management, but I was miles away from God. It was very interesting. I only really came to faith in Christ. It came alive, burst alive, in my second term at Oxford. And there's links between Islington and Sherborne, too. David Shepherd was a curate at our church in Islington, oh, my former church, and he learnt cricket at Sherborne School. And on the 30th of September 1940, the Luftwaffe bombed Sherborne, and amazingly, 2 bombs straddled the abbey, and the abbey was not hit. But the very same evening, 30th of September 1940, Islington Church was bombed and was destroyed, apart from the tower and the crypt. We had a lovely present when we arrived in Dorset from some friends. It's called the King's England. Unfortunately, the apostrophe is in the wrong place. Dorset. And this is Arthur Mee. And I'm sure some of you know this. 1939 he was writing. And he said of this amazing place here, "Here there was a Saxon nunnery 1,200 years ago, founded by St. Cuthberga with her sister, Quinberga. They had a little nephew growing up whose name was Aldhelm." Isn't that amazing, that link in the family? "And whose fame was to spread wide as the founder of abbeys that still remain with us at Sherborne and Malmesbury." And then it goes on. "After Elizabeth, the tragic shadow of the Civil War passed over Wimborne, and in the exciting days of Charles II, the miserable Duke of Monmouth was captured in a ditch not far away." I'd love to find this ditch if someone could point it out. "Then Wimborne went to sleep again." I'm not sure. "And little has happened." I just don't believe this. "Except that the town itself has lost some of its beauty," I don't believe that, while the old minster lives on as if it were all the world, unspoiled by time, and still with the power to lift our thoughts far from these troubled days." So that was 1939. And as I came in here this afternoon, John read to me the warning, really, the warning of the words from T.S. Eliot as I knelt through Little Gidding. "You are here to kneel where prayer has been valid." And there's another warning through the anthem that's just been sung, composed by Paul Vernon, who's here today, from Psalm 127, 128. "It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. This afternoon, we're looking at St. Paul's meeting with Lydia in Philippi, Acts chapter 16. In this service, the theme is welcome, ministry, and mission. But in the sermon, it's the reverse order. Mission led by the Spirit, ministry of meeting, and the response of welcome. So firstly, mission led by the Holy Spirit. This is verse 6. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he'd seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. And so the Holy Spirit throughout Acts and throughout the world is the director of mission. And this chapter is a turning point in Acts. It's the crossover from Asia Minor, the good news coming into Europe. Bithynia was in the north of Asia Minor, and Paul was hoping to go there. We're not quite sure how the Holy Spirit dissuaded him, but interestingly enough, 1 Peter chapter 1 shows that Bithynia was part of the area of St. Peter. He was at Troas, this major port in northern Turkey, close to Homer's Troy, and he has a vision. We have on our doorstep here the third largest natural harbour in the world, in Poole. And it's wonderful to have urban mission as well as rural mission as part of my life. 25% of the population of Wiltshire and Dorset live in Poole. So this vision in the night of a Macedonian man, "Come over and help us." And Paul obeyed. He crossed over the Aegean Sea to Neapolis in northern Greece. And Neapolis was at the end of a major Roman road, the Via Egnatia, which was crucial for military and commercial travel. But then he moved on to Philippi, founded by Philip, the father of Alexander the Great. And it was a fortress, a base for the empire in the late 4th century BC. By the way, do you know the similarity between Alexander the Great and Winnie the Pooh? It's a great Trivial Pursuits question. The answer is they share the same middle name, which is The. It's nothing to do with the text, but I just sort of came to mind. So they crossed over, led by the Holy Spirit. And St. Aldhelm was led by the Spirit from Malmesbury to Sherborne in 705. And Stephen Harding, who was at school at Sherborne, crossed over to Europe, crossed over to France, and was the second abbot of Citeaux at the beginning of the 12th century. He wrote the foundation charter of the Cistercian order. And Aldhelm and Harding are still alive today in Christ. So mission is led and directed by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the ministry of meeting. This is verses 13 to 14. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshipper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. And so they go to the place of prayer by the river. And this is a place of prayer, Wimborne Minster, by the River Stour. Sylvia Dimitrova, the artist who painted the painting on the front of your service sheet. And the painting, the original, is actually under the pulpit here. Do come and have a look after the service. Come up to the pulpit and do have a look at it. She painted this specifically for the consecration. I've known her for some time and we were discussing what she could paint. And the clue is that Lydia was a dealer in purple goods. And so she thought this would be very good to do, the meeting of St. Paul and Lydia at Philippi. Sylvia is Bulgarian, and she's painted it in a Bulgarian folk style. It is absolutely beautiful. So Paul, led by the Spirit, goes out to the river and meets Lydia and her companions. Now, interestingly, Lydia also has crossed over into Europe from Asia Minor. She's a God-fearer. She is not a Jew, but she's very close to becoming and very interested in Judaism. She's from Thyatira in Asia Minor. Later, we'll see in Revelation, have a look at when you get home, that there is a letter to Thyatira. She was a dealer in purple cloth. So she was a businesswoman. There's no mention of her husband. She may have been single, or she may have been a widow. And purple was a luxury cloth. The dye came from a type of sea snail along the west coast of Syria and Palestine. She was not alone. Have a look at the painting. Just on to the right of her, there are three women. Unlike the woman of Samaria, who went by herself to the well for various reasons, Lydia is with these three companions, three women friends, or they may be three daughters, we don't know. But in looking at that painting, they seem to cascade down from the right towards Paul and towards the river. There's almost a tumbling expectation there. Lydia is demure, and she's beautiful. Paul, in his left hand, holds the word of the Lord, and he proclaims it. The Lord opens her heart. I was very moved indeed when I was presented with the Breeches Bible. I'm told it will be chained up immediately after this service in case I take it back to Ewan. But it is so powerful that the scriptures are the foundation of all that we do. There was another Bible printed in Ireland, dated 1716, which is called the Sin On Bible. Do you know this one? Because in John 8:11, instead of sin no more, it has sin on more, which is very different. The mistake was only discovered after 8,000 copies had been printed and bound. And there's another Bible called the Wicked Bible of 1631, and the word not was omitted from the seventh commandment, making it thou shalt commit adultery. The fine of £300 helped to ruin the printer. But the Hebrew scriptures, that's what Paul has in his hand as a symbol of what he was preaching. And then later on, his own letters, his very own letter to Philippi would be part of the New Testament scriptures and the Gospels that came to us. These are the foundation of all our welcome ministry and mission. And then can you see the window in the painting? Have a look. It's just the other side of the river. It's the kingdom of God. And there's a cross there, and there is the sparkling trees which may represent the resurrection. This is what's just the other side of the river. Paul had a vision at Troas of a Macedonian man. Did he meet a man? No! He met a woman. And Lydia is crucial to this shift. There's another very famous woman, St. Leoba, who came from this very place, from the nunnery that was here. She lived from 710 to 780 AD. And she was a relative of St. Boniface of Crediton, who was the apostle into Bavaria. And Pope Benedict XVI is very keen on St. Boniface. The abbess of the nunnery here at the time was the third abbess of Wimborne, called Abbess Teta. And she sent out 20 nuns from here. 20 went from Wimborne to help St. Boniface in Bavaria. Now again, I turn to Arthur Mee, and there's a lovely link with Cambridge here. Listen to this. The fame of Cuthberger's convent spread far and wide, and Wimborne became the Girton of its day. How about that? A training college sending out women who played their part in evangelizing Europe. And in my Dictionary of Saints, there's a wonderful description of St. Leoba. It says this: Abbess Leoba, we are told, was beautiful in person, always pleasant and smiling. Nothing ruffled her patience, and her intelligence was as large as her generosity. Quote, the scriptures were never out of her hand. Now, at the consecration at Westminster Abbey on the 24th of June, the little girl, the 11-year-old girl who read the epistle, was Carla. And she was from our open youth group, and then she joined the church youth group. She was baptized and then confirmed. And her faith came alive in an amazing way. She came into the church youth group, but she wasn't quite there yet. And then we had a discussion about questions that the children brought. One question was God ever a child? It's a great question. Was God ever a child? And they were discussing this and couldn't come to a conclusion. And then I didn't say anything. I just went upstairs to the prayer room and brought down a sculpture of a Madonna and child and just put it on the coffee table. And Carla, I still remember it. Carla said, you mean Jesus was God? And then she just went, wow. And the penny had dropped. She'd grasped the whole center of the universe, that Jesus of Nazareth is the eternal Son of God come amongst us. So, the ministry of meeting and proclamation. Thirdly and finally, the response of welcome. The Lord opened her heart. Look at verse 15. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home. And she prevailed upon us. There was a third person in this meeting who is hidden. And whenever there is an engagement set up by the Holy Spirit, there is the third person, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. And Paul's right hand in that portrait is proclaiming and blessing. And I took the portrait to my consecration retreat at Hillfield Friary. And the Hillfield Friary youth camp leaders were planning their week. They gathered round the painting and came up with some fascinating ideas. One of the leaders said, if you look at that hand, it's also pointing towards the river and the place of baptism. The welcome of the Lord is in baptism, and we began this service with it. Paul crossed over the Aegean Sea, and now he's longing that people cross over into the water of baptism. The same spirit that leads mission is the same spirit that filled Lydia and her household. Again, she wasn't just by herself. She wasn't isolated by the river. She wasn't isolated in baptism. And similarly, Carla, when her faith came alive, she brought her friend Nina along. Say, hey, come to this youth group. It's great fun. And Nina was there at Westminster Abbey as well. So, there is a welcome in Christ in baptism. And then there's the welcome of Lydia to Paul and Silas and Luke. Have you noticed how Luke, the writer of Acts, suddenly writes himself into the story? Welcomed us. So there's three of them. But they were Jews. What were they doing eating in the home of a Gentile who was a God-fearer? They broke the Jewish-Gentile barrier. And we saw in the first lesson in Romans 14 about welcoming people. I've been discussing with John in terms of ministry at Wimborne Minster. And we've come up with an idea. We're exploring it, and I think it may work. Because right at the beginning of Episcopal ministry, you have a bit of power over your own diary. And in Islington, we had various Alpha courses, and lots of people came to faith on that. And I loved it. And then our curate came and he led the Alpha course. And what we're planning to do, I'm planning to clear 11 midweek days consecutively to lead an Alpha course here and to have food, to meet with people. Because various people have said, oh, can we have a meal together? And in some ways, we have a meal together at Alpha. And I'll give a short talk. They aren't pre-programmed talks. They're original talks. They're on the same subjects of the Alpha chapters. But I'll give the talks. And then we will have a question and answer session. So do think about that. probably from the middle or the end of January. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. So we've seen mission led by the Spirit, ministry of meeting, response of welcome. Where are you in all this? You've seen how Luke included himself in the story. Have a look at the painting again on your service sheet. When you come up afterwards at the pulpit, look at it. Just gaze and gaze and gaze at it. Because in the background, there are the trees, there's the window onto the kingdom. In the middle ground, there's the river. In the foreground, there's Paul and Lydia and her friends or her daughters. But is it really like that? Because actually, Paul and Lydia are in the middle ground, and you are in the foreground. Because in gazing and gazing and gazing at it, you become part of it, and you get drawn into it. Feel yourself drawn into this wonderful story of Jesus of Nazareth, who is Christ the Lord. Come and explore. Amen.